like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 20. 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.
Thank you, Rhodey, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you every week here, right here at Atlanta Business Radio X in Sandy Springs, where every week we interview some of the best and brightest business owners in the state of Georgia about starting, growing, and creating a successful business. The Shrimp Tank. We also bring you some students, the kids, the future of tomorrow, who make live pitches right here on Atlanta Business Radio X, the Shrimp Tank. We learn about how their businesses work and whether or not their business will ultimately swim or it will sink in the tank. I'm joined here today by my co-host, Lee Heisman. What's going on today, Lee?
Hey, Ted. Good afternoon.
And we don't have Chris Hanks with us for a second week in a row. What's happening to Mr. Hanks there?
So let me let you know, Chris not only runs the Center for Entrepreneurship, actually at this point, the SHORE Center for Entrepreneurship, and that's S-H-O-R-R, fellow member of our tribe, of course, not S-U-R-E. They've made a wonderful donation.
Which tribe is that?
That's our tribe. Oh, two okay. Live Jews.
Oh, I see. This. Okay.
Very
I was wondering if you meant like the Indian tribe or something like that, or some
understand.
Our tribe. I have it now.
Fair. So we are now part of that, of course. Chris, in addition to running the Center for Entrepreneurship, he is also the head and has been given the fortune of running the International Entrepreneurship Institute. And by doing that, they brought 50 of the best teachers from around the country out to the coast, the East Coast here in the Charleston area, I think we were talking about earlier. And he had a wonderful week with those teachers, teaching them all of the skills to pour entrepreneurship through their schools from elementary, middle school, all the way up through high school. So he had his wonderful week. And Chris said recently, I really wanted to come to host the show with our guest. He knew who our guest was, but he had to put his wife first. They booked a flight. They're on vacation right now. So he deserves that.
Well, we feel really fortunate to do this show every week on Atlanta Business Radio X. And if you haven't seen what's gone on at Kennesaw State, look, the state of Georgia is booming with entrepreneurship, and Kennesaw State is becoming a leader in this fashion, really, because they're going to be the first college to actually have a major in being an entrepreneur. So a lot of people go to school, they become finance and liberal arts and communication, but when your son or daughter graduates from a school with an entrepreneurship degree, whether they go the corporate career or they actually start their own business, one way or the other in life, you have to be an entrepreneur to get ahead. So it's amazing to see what Chris Hanks has done in just a short period of time at Kennesaw State.
Well, and speaking of Kennesaw and Kennesaw State University, our guest, which I'm so excited to bring him on after our first segment, I always joke and say he's the figurative mayor of the city, mayor of the county. And I can't wait, Ted, for you to learn more about what he has done in that community and how big he is in everything associated with not just Cobb County, but also Kennesaw State University.
Well, it's exciting stuff. And, before we always kick off, we bring our guest in. We've got John Loud from Loud Security today, who's built an unbelievable business here in the city of Atlanta. We can't wait to hear about how he's built the business and the culture and what's happened with it. But earlier, about a week ago, Lee, I had an opportunity for a small moment of fame and stardom.
Ted, I called into the studio. I pitched you some direction, if you remember.
I like that. News Radio 106.7 was doing sort of a fantasy radio, and I think they gave 12 people an opportunity to get an hour on radio. So I thought, how do I come up with an hour of material, Lee? And one of the things that I talked about on there is that a lot of people in this Politico today are really wondering what's going to happen if Donald Trump gets in the White House. I mean, are you wondering that as well? I don't know, John, if you are. Like, what's going to happen? Everyone's like, if Donald Trump gets in the White House, what is going to happen? Now,
I thought your take, Ted, your take was amazing. If you take a few minutes and kind of share your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm going to break this down for you because, see, a lot of people don't realize, but basically Donald Trump is turning 70. So he's 70 either today or tomorrow. He turns the age of 70. 70 years old. Here's the question you ask yourself. If you're at your computer, you're driving in your car. How many of you have a parent or a grandparent that is basically either 70 or about to turn the age of 70? And here's the question to ask yourself. When your parents turn 70, do they become less stubborn or more stubborn as they hit the age of 70? Do they get more set in their ways or do they get less set in their ways when they turn the age of 70? Heck, my mother's 74. If I don't feed her three meals and like two slices of cheese and a bagel, she's all out of wax by 10 a.m. in the morning. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's like, I don't know what it is. It's got the same meal all the time. They get set in their ways. So here's what I said on the radio, and I will say this to you because this is the simple part, and you should get a pen handy to write this down because I'm going to give you the best investment tip you could ever get. And here's what it is. Donald Trump is not going to change from the guy that he's been since he's 25 years old. And there's two things that we know to be true about Trump. Number one is that he's a builder. All Donald Trump has done the last 45 years is he's built, right? He's built condos, he's built hotels, he's built airplanes, he's done all kinds of stuff. So what would make you think that at the age of 70, when you become more stubborn, more set in your ways, that he wouldn't just go build? Now, I don't know if he's going to build a wall or he's going to fix every pothole in America, but he's a builder. That's a fact. And by the way, he likes to borrow money. So if he's telling you he's not going to borrow money, he's going to borrow more money from the government and he's going to build more. Two, he's a narcissist. I mean, it's really what it is. There's nothing he doesn't like to put his name on. He puts his name on Trump vodka, Trump beef.
I think I'm drinking Trump water right now. Yeah,
you've got on Trump fragrance. I smelled that when you came in today. So you have it all on there. Not the Donald J. Trump suit collection, though, Lee. No, it was not what you're wearing today.
Fair.
This looks more like the Miami Vice
the
collection.
Crockett and
the Crockett and Tubbs collection. Absolutely. From TJ Maxx. So they, but you know, they have that's basically, you know, what it is. So there it is. Where do you invest your money? U.S. infrastructure, 100%. By the way, if Hillary gets in, invested in there too, she's not going to bring back manufacturing jobs. So I just think it's interesting because people, every night you turn on the media, all you hear is Trump, 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 and all this sort of ideology about what he's going to do, but it's not that complicated. When your folks turn 70, they are who they are. It doesn't change. It's the way it will be going forward, as it will he. So everyone's like, I wonder if he could just stop saying bad things. He can't. He's 70. He's been saying bad things for 45 years. He's going to keep saying bad things.
We know, Ted, and speaking of saying bad things, let me take a moment to introduce our guest. Let's get right to it, because I know he's going to, he requires minimal to no introduction, but when I met this man many, many years ago, one of the first things he told me was, you know, I said, hey, where did you make up the name of your company? He said, well, that's a name that I've been made fun of nearly half my life. Now it's actually finally paying off. But, you know, in the years that I've known this gentleman, he has done so much, not only for his business, for his employees, and more importantly, for his community. I'm just going to very, very simply introduce Mr. John Lau. John, please tell us how you got to where you are today.
Well, hello, everybody. So, yeah, one of the things Lee just talked about is, so when folks first meet me at times, you know, John Loud, Loud Security Systems, I have to explain to them that my last name is Loud. It's always been Loud. And no, I did not change my name into this business. You know, I told my parents were divorced when I was quite young. And my mom was like, finally, a good use for that last name after a number of years of getting the business going and everything. So actually, I was a flight attendant with Delta Airlines for about 6 years. I grew up in the Boston, Massachusetts area.
Nice.
Went to college in Ohio, Kenyon College. Political science major. After that, was heavily involved in a lot of the political side of things on a national scale, but decided to kind of sit out of that for a bit. Got the opportunity to manage comedy clubs in Boston for about 2 years. One of the owner's wives was a flight attendant with American Airlines, and I had always wanted to be a pilot. So I figured, well, I need to go become a flight attendant to be an apprentice to see if I like that lifestyle or that world. And moved on to get all my single, multi-commercial instructor ratings and everything. Got hired by American Airlines and Delta at the same time, and had done a visit between the two locations and chose Atlanta. When I finally got on with Delta, they actually put me in Cincinnati at first, the Northern Kentucky International Airport. Relocated to Orlando, got all my flight training out of the way. Had actually a bad situation developed that I look at today to be a message from God in some ways, where I was in a plane crash with my wife and had 25 facial fractures on one side and 5 on the other. And that was kind of God's way for me to understand that this was not the path. I have some other ideas, but you know, you need to stop and listen for a little bit. So it kind of gave me a time where I'm a very employed individual, but a very unemployed person, because it wasn't that joy of life or the direction. And it's like, all right, God, help me figure this out. Well, here we are now, 20 years later. I had never been in the alarm industry. Nobody in my family ever had an alarm system installed in their home. Didn't know how any of that worked. And kind of God kind of opened some doors for me to learn about really the terminology of reoccurring monthly revenue, RMR. You know, what's recurring monthly revenue? And that is, sometimes you find that in money managers or insurance agencies. And as I did that research, I learned about the security industry. Went to some of the local shows for the fire alarm and burglar alarm industry and started to analyze, you know, what it would take to do this. And I love research. So for my ability to do the research and meet some folks that at one show, this woman said, if you purchase this alarm equipment and have it purchased from this location, they'll give you a certificate for monitoring for 1 year for free at this central station. So I said, well, that sounds pretty easy. I just now have to find a customer. And I realized there was a whole lot less licensing requirements in the alarm industry in the state of Georgia than there was for money managers or insurance agents or things of that sort. Truthfully, I was about 2 years in business and I found out I was supposed to have a low voltage license, which I did get. I passed, I took the test, I checked the wrong box, and I did what they call an unrestricted low voltage license as opposed to alarm only or telecom or a wire, general wire puller. So fortunately, it's an open book test. Again, it goes back to research and understanding where do you go get the answers. We don't necessarily always have to have the answers. I mean, think about this radio show. Think about what KSU has going on. You know, where do I turn to the Small Business Development Center? Do I turn to Chris's group? What relationships? So one of the big philosophies for me in 20 years has a lot been about R&D. You know what, Normal, what's R&D?
Research and development, right?
Well, you're close. To me, in my world, it's all about rip off and duplicate.
Oh, I like that. You know, better.
Well,
huh?
I can come and learn. It's like when I was a flight attendant, I'd lay
rip
over.
Rip off and duplicate. I like that.
Exactly. I'd lay over in Houston, Texas, for example. I'd get the yellow pages out, find the local alarm companies and start calling and asking them questions or challenges or how do you go to market? What are the concerns or things that I should consider a little bit?
This is in the Loud Family Playbook now? The R&D?
R&D. I've shared that quite a bit and many have ripped off that saying. So there you go. You can exactly.
You know, speaking of R&D, John, because you're being very humble with your description because I really want to hear exactly where you've gotten to, how you've gotten to today. But speaking of R&D, I've done a tremendous amount of R&D, something that I know I'm going to be using at holiday time. So I happen to receive this coin and people in the studio can see it. It's a Now, it is real. It's real silver, John, right?
Lee thinks it's real.
Fair.
It's so rare.
Did you bite it?
I did bite it. Didn't break my teeth. But I received this coin, John, and you actually have one in your pocket, and I'm going to rip this off and duplicate it, of course, at my holiday time. We just talked about it again today. Can you talk about this coin that I received? And I'm a vendor of yours, John.
Sure.
So you had a meeting with me. You didn't just send this to me. Give that story, because that's really impressive of how you keep quality, not only employees, but also vendors.
Well, and a lot comes back to something we talked even earlier, corporate culture. I mean, there's so much about corporate culture that develops to even get where you are. So, you know, there's so many different pieces of the path that how you got there. But in reference specifically to the coin, it's a 1 ounce silver coin that we had manufactured in 2014. So in 2014, Loud Security was identified and selected as the Cobb County Small Business of the Year Award. And that is one of those neat things when you think about, okay, I'm a flight attendant. I don't know how any of this works, to here you are years later to be able to get such an award. And it took the time for me to reflect and say, how did I get here? What are those pieces and elements? And when you realize the family support, you realize the community support, the industry support, the vendor support. You know, it takes a whole lot. Even some folks that have left Loud in the past, whether it's good terms or bad terms, to me, I took time and wrote down a very long list. I had a tough time with my comptroller, I got to admit truthfully. I'm the only shareholder of the company. But for me to go and say, I need to buy this many ounces of silver and here's what I'm going to do. I had to tell her kind of after I made the order. I love Diane. I'm afraid of her many times.
Fair.
But it worked. And she's been with me for about 13 years, outstanding. And that's, again, part of those key people that you've done. But it was a special thing for me to be able to put that on the list, to be able to look at Lee, who does, with Savant, does all of our IT support and services. And that's one of those, as you realize, as a small company getting started, you do that. We do all of that. But there becomes a point as you grow, you start to, you know, as you guys, I'm sure, have talked about, working in the business or working on the business. And that's one of those elements that our team finally had to say, we've got to partner with the right provider and the right company that's got those solutions that you can trust and build that relationship and know confidently you've got that. So hence, that's where for my relationship with Lee through the years, that I presented a coin to him.
You're listening to the Shrimp Tank here right on Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're interviewing some of the brightest and best business owners all across the state of Georgia. We've got John Loud today, who's the owner of Loud Security. And I'm wondering here, you know, the security business is such a highly fragmented business. And I'm wondering for entrepreneurs that may be listening to the show about what kind of emphasis, especially as you started out, that you put on branding, because you branded your company unbelievably well here in the city. Especially in Cobb County. And so how do you recommend somebody who's in a highly fragmented business to be able to go about doing that?
Well, to the entrepreneurs, to one step first, let me give you a Cobb County number, for example. Cobb County has an alarm ordinance. And in that ordinance, they have 60,000 registered subscribers in the unincorporated Cobb County area, 60,000. So none of the six cities. And out of those, as a company, I have to go register my customer as a company, and then my customers have to register. So those 60,000 accounts are monitored by several companies. Well, wait to hear this number. 827 alarm companies are monitoring the accounts, commercial.
The 60,000.
Yes, the 60,000. And when you really go a little further out, there's actually closer to 90,000 total. So who knows what that real number is. So you've got to differentiate yourself in some ways. And, you know, one question is what's branding, what's advertising, what's marketing, what's sponsorship, what's donation. So that's another element that kind of goes in, you know, what's our focus as we've selected or identified those through the years. Because it's not all the same thing. Fortunately for me, having the last name Loud, being born Loud, right. And there are many customers that truly do not even truly know that that's my last name. The one thing for customer care, when you realize my Delta Airlines training and that customer care. I mean, it's truly the focus of Delta back in the early 90s that they had won 18 years in a row, the J.D. Power and Awards type thing for customer service for all the major airlines for 18 years in a row. So being part of that, when you take that to our industry and the type of service that you deliver and carry forward. So we invest in many ways at the company as a whole. But again, fortunately, having that name or being present on our website, for example, under customer care, my cell number is there. We have about 9,000 monitored locations today, but my cell number is there. And I was just in Texas last week talking to the alarm groups, and I kind of challenged them. If you want to have processes and protocol to be able to deliver exceptional customer service, I dare you and I challenge you to put your cell number out there. Because here's the thing, I have 60 plus employees today, and we're all human beings. Mm-hmm. So there's bad days, there's good days. So it's not always perfect. But if somebody's got an equipment issue, a billing issue, a personnel issue, I want to be able to have an opportunity to communicate and interact to learn that so that we can now identify if we've got challenges. Because that's the only way we're going to grow. So not every day do we have perfect everything, but I at least want to be accessible to be able to have that opportunity to learn and interact.
Well, you know, and John, knowing you as long as I've known you, you are always willing to learn. There's no question. You never walk in the room and say, I know all the answers. I watch you interact. I've watched you for years interact. What I also find really intriguing, and Ted, you may or may not know this, but you know, you're a real big supporter of the Braves. And can you describe, I love that story, that little car that you have come out at the break. Just give a background on that, because that is such...
Was he the one that started the $2.60 a night to go see the Braves or no?
That would be awesome.
I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's actually a very unique story to really give you the rest of the behind the scenes of what happened is we had somebody come to our office in the year 2003, and it was from the AOL Time Warner Trade Partner Program. They had received 18 letters from our customers.
It's a good program.
Yeah, that we knew nothing of. And they came to us and said, we would like for you to become a vendor to our employees. So they have 18,000 employees in the Georgia marketplace. So this is 03. And they say, we'd like to offer your products and services. And what ultimately they want to do is offer that at some sort of a discount, but they would compensate us for the discount in some form of trade, advertising, you know, whether we want to be on People Magazine or we want to do something, you know, one way or another. So that year I actually said, look, I am flattered, I am honored, but I can't do this. And that's a tough thing sometimes to know when to say no. I mean, as salespeople, we always want to say, yeah, we'll figure it out later. But I knew that if I said yes that year, I was going to mangle their employees, I was going to mangle my employees, and I was going to mangle my subscriber base. But I asked them if they would reconsider, give us 1 year to be able to look at that. So the following February, we had had some discussions along the way. And I said, I think we're probably ready to do this. And what we had done is put a 3-year deal together. I didn't do traditional marketing whatsoever, no advertising whatsoever. Back to any entrepreneur, when you're starting that business, the question is, who is my customer? How am I going to go to market? How much money do I have? And in my world at that time is, okay, every homeowner, every business owner, every apartment could possibly use an alarm system. Well, I had $20,000 is what I did. I took a loan from a bank. 6 months later, we were 100% debt-free, all the way until decades plus later that we actually got a line of credit to actually look at an acquisition possibility for a different type of growth pattern. So with the Braves relationship at that point in time, we did a 3-year sponsorship agreement where what the Braves did is they announced anytime the team was coming out, you know, let's get Loud for your 2004 Atlanta Braves. And if you ever notice our logo, which has been the same since 1995, you look at it and see first base, second base, third base, home base. So they kind of overlaid our aspect on top of the big screen. And anytime they needed to engage the crowd to get loud, they were using Get Loud. And we actually do that now at the KSU football program. We have a 6-year contract with them to kind of energize the student section. It's the loud student section. It's half wrapped. It's all wrapped loud security. And our phone number is very convenient, 678-GET-LOUD. My license plate is Get Loud. So it's a matter of carrying that sometimes and, you know, to different points to have it branded. Here's the issue. Not every day does somebody need an alarm system or think about an alarm system. Until something has happened in the news to a neighbor, a family member, whether it's far away or close by, do they perceive or feel that need? So where are you marketing-wise for them to at least be able to give you an option of consideration to say, sure, I'll consider them for my home or business? And sometimes the challenge is it just home security? Is it business security?
Hey, well, we're going to take a break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to find out from Mr. Loud what happens when you call Thomas, the security consultant, and you chat right with him right on the Loud website. You're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We'll be back after a quick break from our sponsors.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts that work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 now.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. You can always catch a replay. If you didn't hear John Loud in this first segment, you can go to shrimptankpodcast.com. There's unbelievable, unbelievable shows on there now. Not only the first segment that we did today, but the last 6 months of shows of hearing some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia. I'm joined here every week with my co-host Lee Heisman. Chris Hanks is in hiatus right now, but he'll be back. Always great stuff going on at Kennesaw State University. But we have John Loud on today from Loud Security. And we like to play a little game in our second segment here today that's basically called Hot or Not. No, we don't have a bunch of models that are walking in our studio right now, but this is really about a business owner's point of view on certain things around the business. So my first hot or not question today is it a good idea for a business owner to have a vacation policy? This seems to be a big debate amongst many business owners today.
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, especially when you talk about trying to hire or retain the best talent that's possibly out there. And it's interesting because for us over the years, our policy has changed. Of course, morphed over the last 20 years, where the first few years, it was kind of, I mean, we have set up where you're there for 1 year, you earn 1 week. You're there for 2 years, you earn 2 weeks. And then once you get past 5 years, you earn 3 weeks. But where the other part of the policy was, if you don't use it, you lose it. Or if you don't use it, can you get paid out for it? So early on, we were so short-staffed, we wanted them, of course, to, you know, if they didn't use it, we would definitely pay them for it without a doubt. And today, where we are, we actually more require them to use it or lose it. And the reason why is we believe they need the break. They need that refreshing chance to get away, push back from the desk, push back from everything that's going on, and really have that time away.
Okay, hot or not, John, bonuses.
Yes, bonuses. We have bonuses for our installers, our sales reps, and there's a few ways we've done it within our admin team. The unfortunate part is we wish we could come across the entire board with everybody to have different types of incentives or bonuses or challenges. I'll give you a great example with the technicians. Sometimes people are, how do you bonus technicians? Even on a challenge of a 30 or 45 day window, I'll give an example of batteries. Everybody's alarm system is running off a battery, a big battery backup that's there. That battery backup will last you about 2 to 3, sometimes 4 years. And you know when that battery goes bad? About 2 o'clock in the morning. And it starts beeping. And it beeps. And it beeps. And it drives you crazy. And then you've got to call and say, how do I stop this? Because you're trying to sleep. So then our on-call technician gets the call to be able to walk you through, which is frustrating and inconvenient for you. Whereas now we've incentivized them with different bonus structures to be able to say, if you will share with them the story about what's going to happen with the battery, and now you realize they've been with us for more than 2 years or 3 years, and maybe it's time for them to consider changing the battery. So there's just different challenges. So we make it a lot of fun too at the same time. So
we know that you've got your daughter with us today, so we're going to do a hot or not. Do you bring family members into the business?
Ooh, that's a great question. My daughter here, Sweet Caroline. You know,
I was trying to set you up here, so yeah, this is, you know, I was trying to take care of you.
I have joked with my children much through the years that I hope they find their heart, passion, and joy just as I have you know, and is that going to be loud or not? Because I'd rather them find it within themselves. I'm not a big fan of the entitlement world. Just I've had some nieces or nephews that have wanted to move from out of state in town. And I said, Uncle Johnny is not going to be there to take care of rent, or Uncle Johnny is not going to be there to take care of certain things. You know,
is that what they call you once you become a successful business owner?
Yeah, Uncle Johnny.
Yeah, I like that.
So, all right. So Uncle Johnny, another question. Think back, think way back, business plan. How does that apply to you, hot or not? And how would that apply for an upcoming entrepreneur?
I cannot spell those words together.
I believe that.
How do you spell business plan?
I like that, because a lot of owners that come on the show say you must have a business plan, and there's no way, but you can succeed without having a big business plan, can't you?
I just had some ideas, and I was just going to test, model, run, market certain things. As members, I love research, but I don't, that's not that thing for me to sit there and write out all those words. Now, I put down goals, you know, I put down some projections that I would hope would work. And I had some ideas, and I'm always, as Lee shared earlier, from my ripoff and duplicate or learning from others to listen, try, or modify, and how far am I going to go down the path before I'm willing to say, okay, that didn't work. But I never did put a constructive business plan formal together.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. We come to you every week live, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here in the Sandy Springs studios. We're sitting here with John Loud from Loud Security today. We're talking about our hot or not section today. We asked some pretty good questions, and actually John gave some pretty good answers today. One of the questions that I have in here, which I think is interesting, is that as an owner, sometimes if you have no partners, you get on an island. So is it hot or not to hire a business coach?
I think that I personally have not, but I'll tell you, I think it's one of those I've teetered along. The problem is, and Lee knows this well, for me to stop and put my schedule and get committed to that time the whole way. But what I've been successful enough to do is know when to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a business coach, I think, may be able to help guide you to see the difference of working in the business or on the business.
Right.
So I certainly am a big advocate of getting a business coach. And I got to tell you, I think I've probably got 25 business coaches on my board of directors. We don't pay well. They're called mentors that are in my industry, you know, that I can call at any time. And I always share with them, look, I know I'm as small as I'm ever going to be as a company right now. What's the right software, the solutions, the credit checks, the how do you deal with inventory management or you know, pay structures, or how do you mobilize or, you know, encourage, or where am I hiring, or how do I change ways along the way? So a business coach is certainly going to do that. But for me, on a national scale, heavily involved with major manufacturers, I think I've got many of those business coach very specific to our industry. And I do listen.
So I have a little background information on John. I'm interested of the answer to this. So John, for entrepreneurs, do they expand organically or do they buy other businesses and combine them as well? And I know you have experience in that realm.
You know, first off, I'm not a fan of debt. Let me state that first.
Fair.
So I'm not, to me, a cautious, steady growth. I have been offered several different times significant dollar amounts to get partners or other things involved there. And, you know, but with that, I'm not one that's sitting there. It's not all about the dollar for me. How about that? That's important. So there's a certain type of growth that's a comfort level for myself. Maybe that's different for an entrepreneur. They've got to look in themselves and understand that risk and reward piece of it all. So for me, Lee, the first 15 years, everything was with us was completely organic growth. And it wasn't until probably about 2010 when I went and got a line of credit. After being president of the State Alarm Association for 3 years and having some industry folks here close in Georgia kind of watching the way we've done things, when they've come to that age of retirement or they're economically saying, I don't see how I'm going to persevere through some things, they've said, I'd love to see about us joining companies together where we would acquire their subscriber base and put our customer care elements together for their subscribers. So I would purchase their assets. Some of them, one of the owners right now are currently working for us that we acquired about 3 years ago.
So it sounds like over the first 10, 15 years, you really baked in your culture. And then when you can add other businesses in, they just kind of come and they're going to either fit or not fit into what you've already built.
Yes, but I got to tell you, now is the time for anybody to be thinking about when is the right time to deal with an acquisition opportunity. So yeah. It's something probably 5 years into the business. I had read enough within the industry magazine, learned some metrics, talked with a lot of my mentors or business coaches, if you will, to be able to say, what does that mean? How does that get done? And I've watched and learned along the way where then it became the right time. And because of the right type of debt, to me, I've been very comfortable with that, and we will seek those opportunities moving forward here.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X. When we come back with John Loud, he's going to be in our Plead the Fifth section. You know what that means. We're going to ask some tough questions. You can only plead the fifth once. We're going to find out one thing about John and Boston that nobody knows that we'll bring out on the air today. When you come back on Atlanta Business Radio X, we'll hear from our sponsors and be right back with The Shrimp Tank.
Business Radio X interviews dozens of innovative entrepreneurs and successful leaders each week. Its mission is to help local businesses get the word out about the important work they're doing in their market, their community, and their profession. With a pro-business slant and a long-form interview format, guests don't have to worry about being ambushed or talking in sound bites. Guests have enough time to tell their whole story and to share their insights and experience without interruptions. If you would like to feature your business on Business Radio X, check out our website, atlantabusinessradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Lee Heisman. Chris Hanks is on hiatus right now, apparently teaching a lot of teachers about entrepreneurship. No better instructor to do that than Mr. Chris Hanks, who will join us back here, I think, in the next week or two, right, Lee? He's coming back on
the air.
He'll
be back next week.
Yeah, just two non-intellectuals on the radio right now. So this is good, especially when we're doing an interview show. Oh, three. Loud included himself.
I plead the fifth.
This is good. So we're here in our Plead the Fifth section. You can always hear a replay of all of our shows on shrimptankpodcast.com. Fabulous, fabulous stuff that you should see from entrepreneurs all across the country. Not only these first two segments you did with John today, but including our original guests like the Duffys and other people that have built unbelievable businesses in and around here in the state of Georgia and in the city of Atlanta. So I said before the break, this was the tease, that we would learn something about John and the city of Boston. Now, I'm a Boston College graduate, so I know a little bit about Boston, probably not as much about John, but the nightclub scene, the comic club scene must have been very interesting in the couple of years that you did that. So I'd like to know who was the worst or the most angry comedian that you ever ran across while you were at the nightclub in Boston, Comic Club.
Good. You know, we had two rooms. One you could not cuss in.
So that wasn't Lenny Clark.
Right.
Lenny Clark, no. He couldn't say, without the F-bomb in one of those, it wouldn't work out.
Comedy Connection, so we had Comedy Connection and Duck Soup. Comedy Connection, you could. Duck Soup, you could not.
You know who's probably good at duck soup was Stephen Wright, because Wright was not there. Oh, yeah. Do you know who Stephen Wright is?
Stephen Wright has a seashell collection. It's scattered across the beaches of America.
Yeah. He's the most monotonous guy in the world. Yeah, he said, yesterday I got busted for scalping low numbers at the deli. I sold a number 3 for $28. So
we had to escort out, but there's not a name that ever even made it. But we had a lot of good talent there.
Boo hiss.
Okay, so John, let's jump right into it. And this is live radio right now off of Business Radio X. Who is your most hated competitor, John?
Hated competitor, you know what? I'm not wired that way because I get to watch and learn from so many of them. Let me give you a great example. I love ADT. ADT is the big giant. They go out and market galore, spend lots of money, mangle many customers, and we get to go in and clean up and pick it up. So, and what a great, formidable leader and the technology that drives it. So everything that you see on TV from Comcast, AT&T, all the different providers out there, everything we do local, we're just not the large scale. We're not trying to be the biggest guy in the world. So, when Brinks got sold to ADT years ago, it was really a bummer for us because they were an outstanding company, but I knew half the advertising and half the TV broadcast was gone. But I realized the benefit to us. When AT&T and Comcast started to get in the industry, many of our folks were like, oh no, what are we going to do? They're going to take over the world. I'm like, they're going to help you market. People will try that, but how many people at the end of the day are going to stay with a Comcast or an AT&T? They are not security companies. They're cable companies. They're telephone companies. But they will increase market penetration, market awareness, and have people consider that it's when they go to search locally, we become an opportunity. So
Lee, you have to remember as we do this interview today, the best word I'm taking away from today is mangle. It's
mangled.
A powerful
mangled
word.
It's amazing.
It's got all sorts of color to it. I really like that. So is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
I've not married an entrepreneur, so I don't know. I would think it would be incredibly refreshing because I would imagine they understand the schedule, the mindset, the way people are. So it would be...
You would hope they would expect or know that, right?
This is true, yeah. Or unless it becomes a selfish, hey, it's all about my business, my world, because mine's better than yours. I don't know.
Fair.
It'd be,
Fair. John's, you know, dancing around. He's like pleading the seventh, like the eighth, like the ninth.
Did Lee, really, weren't you the one that said something like 88% of entrepreneurs get divorced? Isn't it something like that?
That is true. That, you know, I was in a number of groups, John, and I look around the room and more than, and these are high-end CEOs and entrepreneurs. And one of our guests coming on the show, Cliff Oxer from the Oxford Center, runs a very large group. And when I'm in the room and I was able to speak at an event, you know, you look around the room and more than 50% of these high net worth CEOs are not wearing wedding rings. And then in my discussions through the few hours that I've been with these people, most are on their second or third marriages. So it is quite intriguing. And it was actually an article that I had wrote and I'd spoken on this. So
I'm sure the Think Thin woman's going to get married again after the $217
million. $217 million, exactly, right.
I've only been married one time.
Fair. I like how you
Me
dropped
too,
that
yeah.
It's... Well done. I'm number two and very lucky.
No, I'm not marrying you, Lee.
Fair. Right,
so in the early days of Loud Security, did you know, I know you were a no debt guy, but did you ever come close to missing payroll?
No.
Nice.
No, I you know, and you got to remember the scary part about us is that the alarm industry as a whole, so this is not just a Loud story, is that we got to remember every time you see a Loud Security yard sign or an alarm company yard sign, know that we lost hundreds of dollars at every one of those job sites. So it's a loss leader. It's kind of back in the cell phone days or pager days where, fine, I'll give you a free cell phone or a free pager, but now you're going to have a 2-year agreement or 3-year right. agreement. So the industry has, for the most part, been that way. So you've got to understand cash reserves more than any other types of business. I have a good buddy of mine, Jay Cunningham, owns Superior Plumbing. So people see Superior Plumbing all the time. They see Loud Security at times. They say, wow, you and Jay have all. I said, you got to remember the difference, though, is every time Jay go, first off, every home or restaurant has multiple toilets and sinks and plumbing lines. Every single establishment out there does. Not everybody has security.
Right.
But the difference, when you have a plumbing issue, you walk out of there with money. You know,
Sing that song? Can't you sing the Superior song? Don't you know that by heart?
Well, Jay, we're going to dinner with Jay Thursday night.
Oh,
Jay's coming on the show in the next few weeks.
Had lunch with him today.
Excellent. He eats all the time, apparently.
Yes. Yes. It's one of those habits we Americans have.
Too much. So let me jump in, John, because we have time for two more questions. And I'm taking the Chris Hanks role here. So please be clear. If you know Chris at all, Chris is the most considerate, kind individual, except when it comes to plead the fifth. So I am replicating a lot of Chris's questions here in honor of Chris not being here. John, and this is a hard one. You can't dance around this.
You'd
one.
You have to take off the headphones to do that.
It's a valid point. Yes, he doesn't like listening
really
to himself.
It.
Now, John, take a moment and think about this one. Thus far in your career at Loud Security, what is your biggest disappointment?
God, that was a Chris Hanks question.
Well, I don't know. Okay, so that's Loud Security as opposed to John Loud's life. Okay.
Yes, because right. we don't have another hour. Yeah, that's why.
The biggest disappointment, I think it's got to be something about people management. You know, it's like, it's the toughest challenge of any business, and we realize every successful business is all going to be about the effectiveness of building that right team. And I guess it goes back to my R&D. I certainly will be quick to hire and slow to fire. And I also realize that not having the knowledge of the alarm industry or never being an entrepreneur before, right? Heck, I was a flight attendant. I don't know how any of this worked. I guess through the years, I've understood that an entrepreneur is somebody that, you know, is filled with determination. When it outpaces your fear, you're going to overcome a whole lot of things. But I think the biggest challenge from that regret standpoint is then, you know, the handling of the training, the onboarding. Today, it's a whole different world. You know, you're either going to invest a lot in training people and bringing people on board right, or you're going to invest a lot in what you lose in your subscribers, in your corporate culture, in your environment, because you didn't invest properly on the right end.
So, John, that was a first great answer. Last question for you, but not really a question. I'm going to give you a soapbox to make your final statement. I know your team very well. I know how you work at your team very well. I know how much you're in the office, how much you're out of the office, and how the growth of your company isn't just based upon what you do, but it really falls on the backs of all of your employees. So if you just take a minute and talk about your staff and how important they've been in your growth, and this is kind of some home cooking because I know them very well. So I just wanted to give a shout out to them. And if you could just take a minute and share how integral they have been in your growth and how they've allowed you to kind of be you.
Well, let's understand it from a beginning entrepreneur is when you get started and have that uncertainty or knowledge of what to do and the training aspect that I just referred to. But now here we are 20 years later, when you've got employees that have been there 10, 12, 13, 14 plus years, you know, and you change the way, you know, early on, of course, because you can breathe and you can smile and I can think I can train you and transform you to be able to do that. And it's not a realistic thing for each and every person. But today, you know, as I mentioned, Diane's my comptroller, has been there 13 plus years. Eric Widner's my GM, has been with us for about 14 years also. Susan Mass, I mean, there's a whole list of folks that have been past that 10-year mark. And, you know, they allow me to do so much of my community events and community activities, where Loud Security, we give so much beyond what happens at Loud. And you got to remember, when we give that gift of sponsorship or donation, and many times I let them understand, this is from the employees of Loud Security. It's not from John Loud, okay? And I try to make a differentiation between Loud Security donating this, but it's the people of Loud, it's the customers of Loud, because really all the money that comes together are from those subscribers that have committed month after month after month to let us to be their provider. But it's also the team that commits to make sure that they have that excellence to give to the customer care element that assures that, as well as the fun corporate culture. And with Caroline in the room, I've got to mention, so we have a code word at Loud, and it's Caroline. We have so much fun there at times, and you've got to know to be serious, and there's some neat examples with it that you have to say the word Caroline and then say. So because of the corporate culture, as well as the benefit packages, let's be real, the benefits and the pay and the whole blend of everything that comes together, we've been able to build such a strong team that has us set to be able to even have better growth down the road.
So for folks that are listening to the show today, if they're interested in learning more about your company, getting a security system changed or installing one on a place that they don't have right now, how can folks that are listening to the show today get in touch with you and your company?
Well, I would love to have you, for the web folks that are enabled, go to loudsecurity.com and again, go to...
Yeah, I just chatted with the guy in there right now.
Yeah, Thomas. Go tell Thomas hello and say, hey, are you awake? Trust me, at 7, 8, 9, 10 at night, sometimes he's live chat on there, ready to go. Also, our phone number, nice and easy, 678-GET-LOUD.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I just closed on a building myself, so you've convinced me to put Loud Security in my building. How about that? So we got awesome. A customer just sitting in the room here today. It'll be in downtown Alpharetta. So thanks for coming on the show today. Next week, we've got some great guests. You know, a lot of you have asked us over time and chatted with us about, what do you do if you're going to buy a commercial building? Is it a good idea or a bad idea if you own a building? And more importantly, you've asked us about legal documents. At some point in time, as a business owner, you're going to have to deal with the lawyers, just face it, one way or the other. And so the question is, what kind of documents do you need? Do you need employment agreements, 1099 agreements, benefits manuals? How do all these things work? We've got on David Dixon and Rich Valerdis, two of the best in the business at what they do, to help you as a business owner. As always, you can hear all the replays, including our entire interview with John Loud today on ShrimpTankPodcast.com. Look forward to catching you next week right here on the Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.